This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
We want to do something a little bit different than we've done in the past. And one of the reasons we want to do something different is several months ago, our house hosted a women's gathering. I was not there, but my wife was there. And she came back and she said, I met this lady, told me about different people, this one lady. And her family has a nonprofit in Africa, and I thought, that's really cool. So I invited us over to their house to hear about it. I said, can we hear more about this story? And their story was just so compelling, I wanted the church to hear it, and I thought it was perfect for Mother's Day. So I just want to introduce Aaron and Scott Littleton. Let's give them a hand for being brave and standing in front of us, and sitting in front of us. And I just want them to tell their story about their family and kind of how God is working. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys to get started with that.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us. As Patrick said, we're Scott and Aaron Littleton. And we've been going to Bridges for about 4 or 5 months and just love it here. So we feel blessed to be here and super lucky to be speaking with you today. A little background on us. Aaron and I met in the early 2000s when we were in college. So we met in Chapel Hill and got married right after college and really felt the Lord calling us to do some volunteer work, some missionary work. So we actually, right after we got married in August of 2005, we got married. And then in January of 2006, we hopped on a plane and flew to Uganda and volunteered at an orphanage there. Kind of in the lead up to us traveling to Uganda, everyone that we met was like, you know, you guys are going to like adopt, right? You're going to come back with kids. And we're like, no, we are totally not doing that. We're like 24. We're still kids ourselves. We're not ready for that. And I think we have a photo of us in Uganda. You do see two kids on our laps, and you also see those kids in this room today. So, kind of how that happened is, I guess we were volunteering at an orphanage called Imani Baby Cottage. Mary Cameron and Jackson were actually there. The very first day we were there, actually, the first full day, we went on a boat ride on the Nile River. And Mary Cameron was sitting on my lap. And immediately I was like, man, I think, I know we said we weren't adopting, but I think I'm in trouble. And then I think the following day, we went into the room where Jackson was, and I think immediately Aaron, God led them to each other, and I think concurrently Aaron was like, oh man, I think I'm in trouble.
And Scott's going to be so mad when he finds out. Right.
And then a couple days later, we found out that Mary Cameron and Jackson were birth siblings as well. So at that point, we really knew that God was calling us to adopt them. So we adopted Mary Cameron and Jackson. So they're the ones that made me a dad, and Aaron a mom. And we also have two more kids, Sophie, who's 12 years old, and Cole, who's 5. So that's the Littletons, and that's a little bit about how we started out our journey in Uganda.
So while we were at this orphanage working, we had very naively gotten on this plane with a lot of passion in our hearts, thinking we're going to go and help orphans and love orphans. And we thought we knew what orphans were, that they were, you know, kids with no living mother and no living father. But what we came to find out very quickly after getting to know these children, there were about 60 kids in the orphanage. And what we came to find out is that many of them, not all, but many of them had living parents that were in the picture. They just couldn't provide for them, you know, medically or financially. They just didn't have the resources that it took. And so it came down to, am I going to keep my kid with me and let them suffer the lack of not having a full belly ever? Or am I going to separate myself from this child and put them in an institution? And that's not a choice that any child should ever have to make, or any parent should ever have to make for their child. And so we founded the Mighty River Project, and the idea for the name of the Mighty River Project actually came from Amos chapter 5, verse 24. It says, let justice roll on like a river. And, you know, a river is very, you look at a river and all it's doing is flowing. It's not being flashy and it's not doing anything amazing. It's just being a river. But as that river flows, the landscape changes. And that's kind of like motherhood, right? Like you don't, it's kind of mundane most days. You're not doing anything super flashy unless you're a really different mom than I am. But you just kind of do your thing and you hope that with the Lord's help that the landscape of your kid's life is changing.
That's good. And so kind of tell us, like, what are some of the key components of your nonprofit or the Mighty River Project? What do you guys do?
Sure. So we basically, as an introduction, what we do is empower women so that these families can be preserved and orphans can be prevented. And so we basically do that in four main ways. And I'll let Scott tell you the first two.
Yeah, so the kind of the idea behind what we do is we've hired a group of moms who are at risk of having to put their kids in institutions or orphanages because they can't provide for them financially. And you can actually see this photo here behind me. This is kind of a big family photo of all of our people. We have about 15 artisans that work for us, mostly making baskets. So like Aaron said, we have kind of four main tenets or four main goals. And kind of the first one is financial stability for the moms in our program. And we actually have a quote that we like to use. It says, we're made in the image of our creator. And when we provide someone the opportunity to create a product and a living, it's so powerful and healing. And so basically we want to provide our ladies, our artisans, consistent monthly income, and also the dignity that comes from kind of earning it and doing it themselves. So fair wages is our first kind of goal. And our second one is education. So yeah, we've got another photo here of some of the kids that are the children of our artisans. We've got about 15 ladies that work for us, and between those 15 ladies, about 60 children. And one of the things that we partner with them in is actually sending their kids to school. There's no public education in Uganda, so there's cost associated with all schooling. So we actually, we find monthly sponsors for all the children in our program, and that sponsorship allows the children to go to school full time.
And then one of the things that we added kind of later on in the game after we started with just the baskets was we realized that these ladies, even though they had fair monthly income, it was still cost prohibitive for them to go to the doctor. And so we actually were able to start a medical program through a local clinic staffed by mostly Ugandan doctors, but it's run by a church. And that clinic it's modern and amazing and kind. And any of our ladies can take anyone in their household to the doctor anytime they need for anything from preventative care to they've done some pretty heavy duty surgeries for a couple of our little guys especially. And they're really good at referring out. It's just a really stellar program and is changing a lot for these ladies and their kids and their kind of basic healthcare needs. And then the first three things that we've talked about are the physical needs, right? But if you think about vessels in the Bible, like baskets or jars or things like that, vessels are actually mentioned a lot in the Bible. And it's kind of interesting because you never really think like, well, wow, if I think about the story of the five loaves and the two fishes, I'm really focused on those baskets that they take the leftovers home in. Like, that's not really the center stage, but it is like a vehicle for the story, right? And in the same way, these baskets and the other, like the education and the medical pieces are basically just a vehicle for us to support these ladies and get them in community so that we can our team can disciple them. And so without the love of Christ, what we're doing is just useless. For eternity's sake, it's useless. But when Jesus and the love of Jesus comes on the scene, that's when we see like the real life change. And it's very neat because we work with this small group of ladies, but we've seen, especially in this discipleship group, there's a lady named Lois who comes in, and she's basically like our discipleship director. And so she'll come in with Bible studies. She's got specific training in trauma. She's got lots of wisdom and behind her. And so she's the perfect person for this job. But she comes in and has these Bible studies, prays with the ladies, disciples them, helps them through crises. And as she does this with these 14 women, what has started to happen is that they've started telling their neighbors, and they'll like meet somebody at the doctor's office and say, well, wow, you're struggling with that. Well, I would love to have my group pray for you. Will you come to my house and like we can pray for you? And we've actually added a few of our artisans through this group where it's our ladies saying, well, this lady over here in my community has a need. And I've been teaching her to make baskets. So like, can we add her and into the community? So it's not only, the basket is not just a basket. The basket is the vehicle for this kind of total foundation that we're praying that these ladies' lives kind of change from the inside out. And then as they change, they can go on to reach their communities for Christ.
See, I've got one thing to add on this discipleship program is, as you see in the photo, Lois, who Aaron referenced, is in like the turquoise, or I guess the blue shirt, holding the paper up. And I was kind of thinking through the prayer that Patrick led us through this morning with regards to moms, and we prayed for all the women in our lives that were mother figures. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of who Lois represents. She represented that for Mary Cameron and Jackson for a while. She worked at the orphanage that they lived in. So she was like a mother figure for them for a while. And then she also does that for her community and for the ladies in our program. And it's really people like Lois the ripples of the work that she does just extend so far beyond her immediate reach that it's really people like Lois who we want to empower. So
that's good. Some things really stood out when I heard their story. Three things, actually. One, they're Carolina grads, so we're all Carolina grads up here. Don't hold that against us. That's really cool. Another thing, and I need to say this right. I kind of said it wrong last hour, but they're ordinary people. I mean, they're more than ordinary. They're ordinary people, but God's doing extraordinary things through them. I mean, when you hear them talk, it's just, I love the humility. I love what God's doing through them. And it's just, I love their stories. The other thing I loved about it was, and it's why we have it today, is they're working through moms. Because the moms and the grandmoms are making huge, huge impact on the lives of people there. So there's a couple of stories they're going to tell about moms and how they're impacting the world.
Yeah, so the first story I want to tell is actually about a lady. She's one of our artisans. Her name's Jessica, and she is a mom, but she's also a grandma. And basically her story is that we hired, where our story connects with hers, is that we hired her daughter, Olivia, who you'll meet in a video in a few minutes. But Olivia came on board with us, and our team, we have a team of three in Uganda. And our team was going in to their home to kind of assess their needs. We always like want to kind of meet their immediate needs before we kind of move on with the program. And so they were there to assess their needs and, you know, find out their story and just get to know them. And they realized that Olivia lived with her mom, Jessica. But not only that, but Jessica was also raising four of her grandkids because she had several children, but Olivia was the only surviving child that she had. And so she was raising four of her grandchildren. And, you know, there are lots of us who, if that was not, if we had not planned to just suddenly start raising four children, that would be a real hardship. And so she had not planned for that. She was not expecting that. By the time you're Jessica's age in Uganda, it's really your children start taking care of you. And that social kind of structure was breaking down, and it was kind of going backwards. And so we were not going to let Olivia and her kids join our program and leave grandma and the other four kids, you know, uneducated and without an income. And so we were able to, very quickly after we added Olivia, we were able to add Jessica. And she's able to support her children or her grandchildren now, and they're being educated alongside their cousins. And it's just a much healthier situation for that whole family. And then the other lady that I wanted to tell you about, her name is Kevin. Kevin does not sound like a female name for us sitting in America, but Kevin is a female name in Uganda. And Kevin, what you need to know firstly about Kevin is that she has a congenital spinal difficulty. And so she, when she is pregnant, she cannot have babies naturally. She has to have a C-section. So that's key to the story. So when we were rolling out the medical program, we were actually in Uganda, and we gathered all of our ladies and sat them down, and we were kind of explaining the, you know, the nitty-gritty of, well, if you need medical care, this is how you go about this process with this clinic. And, you know, I'm plugging along, and I see this hand from the back. And we're like, yeah, Kevin, what's up? And Kevin's, she's very sweet, very smiley, but like pretty quiet, like not the one who's going to just come and hang out with you and be in your face. So we know, like, if Kevin's raising her hand, like, that's really something. She's not the type to interrupt the meeting. So we're like, yeah, Kevin, what's up? And she goes, well, I know that you're providing this medical care, and I know you said things about childbirth, but I know you wouldn't pay for a C-section. That's too much. And we were like, yeah, if, you know, if you need a C-section, like, we trust God to provide the funds that we need to pay your medical bill. And so, yeah, if you need a C-section, by all means, please have one. And kind of went on with the meeting. And afterwards, we sat down with Kevin, come to find out, predictably, she's pregnant. You know, like, you knew the end of the story is she was asking about a C-section because she knew she needed one. And so she had had two older children, and what we found out was because of her spinal difficulty, she was considered cursed in Uganda, because in lots of the developing world, when you see somebody with a disability, you know, people look at that person and they don't see a physical disability, they think it's a spiritual disability. And so the doctors, when she would go to the government-run hospital, everyone there basically thought she was cursed, thought she was just less than human. And so she would go into the hospital to have her prenatal care or deliver or whatever she needed at the hospital, and she would have to pay a bribe to every step of the way. So she would have to pay a bribe to the man at the gate to, like, let her in the gate. She would have to pay a bribe to the lady at the reception desk. She would have to pay a bribe to the nurse. She would have to pay a bribe to the doctor just to get just this very basic, like, to just to be treated like a human, just so someone would see her. And so we said, Kevin, like, this is not, we promise, we've been to this clinic, we've met with the doctors, this is not going to be your experience at this new clinic. And so when it was time for her to deliver a few months later, she went to the clinic, she had a scheduled C-section, and I just think it's beautiful because the first two children that she delivered were delivered by a doctor. Like, those hands that delivered that child were hands that thought that this child had a cursed mom. And the hands that delivered Kevin's third daughter at the clinic that was run by the church were hands of a man who loved Jesus and who saw the inherent value in the mom and the baby. And I just think, how could you get a better start in life than to have a mom that loves you, but also even just a doctor that recognizes how valuable you are? And so I think we've got a picture of Kevin with her third daughter, Gift. She's big and kind of sassy now. But she's, you know, she and her siblings and her mom are now thriving. And it's not just that they had a healthy birth situation, but now she goes to the clinic anytime she needs to. She's getting preventative care. She's having a much different childhood than her older brother and sister started out with. And that's huge. That's huge. So I've told you some stories. We've told you the story of kind of how this came to be. We told the story, a couple of stories of our ladies, and now I want to kind of share briefly with you about how your story can intersect with the stories of these ladies. And it's kind of three main things. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram, and I'm not going to be offended if you like look at your phone and do that right now, because the truth is, if you like us and follow us on Facebook, like one of your friends might see that. And the farther the word can spread here in the U.S., the farther our ministry can go in Uganda. So that's the first thing is social media. The second thing is we've got these baskets out here. They're available for purchase because we have to have something to do with them after we get them from Uganda. And so the baskets are all available for purchase. And to that end, you can actually host a home party. So you can buy them online, or if you would like to like host a home party, we can come to your house and set up, and you can invite three or five of your friends and pour them some sweet tea, and we can go from there and kind of tell them kind of what we do in Uganda, and you can help us spread the word that way. And then the third thing that you can do is from time to time, we have children that are available for sponsorship. It's $35 a month, and it's just you coming alongside and partnering with this little person as they get their education and getting to write letters back and forth and just being the cheering section for these little guys. So those are kind of the ways that you can connect.
That's great. And we, you know, we're on this journey together with them and just seeing where God's taken us. Hope we can partner more. And one of the things we wanted to offer today is a Mother's Day for all ladies, whether you're a mom or not. There's a basket for you out there in the lobby. You get to pick out the one that you like, pick the colors you like. If you want to buy more, that's up to you. But there's one for every lady here today. And we just want to just bless them and help them in their ministry. And we want to pray for them as well. So let's do that together. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the Littleton family, and I thank you for what you're doing in all of their lives. And I thank you for the ministry you've placed in their hands. I thank you for the work that you're doing through them. We ask your blessings for even greater things, Father, things that only you can do. And may they wake up every day just realizing what a great God you are. I thank you for the ladies there in Africa that you're working through, and I pray your blessings on them and their families today as well. Thank you for all that you do for us, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we close this part up, we're going to see another video and just kind of catch up with some of the ladies they showed you. Let's give them a hand before we do that. Can we do that? Thank you.
Liver Project for the work you are doing for me. Single Olivia, a widow with 7 children, and I got a friend in need. I'm very grateful. By the time I was alone, things were not easy for me. to maintain my children, to go to school, medication, each and everything. But this time, when he joined me, I'm very happy, I'm strong, I feel okay. My children are going to be in good conditions. Because some of them, like Fiona Nisima, she has already promised me to become a doctor.
First, my name is Nisima Fiona. I come from Uganda. I love you so much. And I would like to become a doctor. And I'm so hardworking. So that I fulfill my dream. Love you.
Thank you. Now you picked me from the dust. Now I'm sitting with a princess.
In that time, I could not support myself. And I greatly thank God for you, for all the support you've given to me. You've given me through medication, because I got pregnant, and I had a baby who was 3 months, and she's this very young girl. But when you entered into my life, you really supported me that I have peace up to today.
Before I joined the Mighty River Project, I was in a bad condition that I couldn't express. But as per now, I'm fine. I weave baskets and I earn a living. I can be able to buy food for my kids, pay house rent, and more so, I can be able to spare some time and go to the to practice for me. I'm a born again. I lead the worship team in my church. I can spare time because I have little load now. They pay school fees for my kids. I have medication at Wayne's Hospital. I can spare time and go for practices in my church and worship God. So I'm happy now because I'm no longer having stress as before.
Before they came into my life, I was badly off. I looked faded. I used to cry. I had a wound on my heart. My situation was totally bad. But right now I thank God. Because I'm good now.
Never some come.
I thank God. He does wonders. My life is really a changed one. Children are going to school. They go for the medication. I make baskets as well. And baskets are really
hot.
I can now get little. I can get money. And do something for myself.
Thanks for everything.
I thank you.
And thank you.
I thank you.
I thank you. Bye.
You know, you look at that and you're reminded that we are all part of the family of God, that families may look different here and there. You might have mom ahead of the household or grandma running the household because they need to, or however your family's put together, but in Christ, we are all together as one. As we prepare for communion today, we want to be reminded of that. It's Jesus Christ that makes us one family, that through his death and burial and resurrection, he has brought us together. So today, as we get ready to come up and come forward, just going to ask you just to be thinking about that. And before we do that, let's go through a verse, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, just to remind us how we are a family to God, together in Christ. It says this, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not just with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." That together in Christ, if we're born again, we are welcome at the table if we have him in our life. And so I'm going to pray, and then you come forward, and there's bread and there's juice here. The bread represents the body of Christ. The juice represents the blood of Christ shed for us. So let's pray together. Father God, in this time of communion, we're reminded that we are bound together through Christ, that the ladies we watched in the video are sisters in Christ. Their children are brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters in Him because Jesus made that possible. So, Father, through this time of communion, bind us together in love and community and union. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come forward when you're ready, and then return to your seats.